Do you feel more than ever that you need to make a shift in your wellness? Listen to the podcast Inner Wellness with Dr. Naz Parsian. Let's make the shift happen. Have you ever heard about brain priming? Yes. Brain priming. We can prime our brain. We are able to write a new blueprint for our brain because we are the master of our wellness. That's what I preach all the time, inner wellness mastery. We are creators. So if you are interested to know more about how we can give the new order and new print to our brain, and definitely to our body, our heart, and change the life, then be with me for this episode that we have an amazing guest talking about brain priming.
Hello, wellness seekers. We are here with another episode of Inner Wellness. How are you going, everyone? I'm just from Melbourne, Australia, and we are just out of lockdown with a lot of challenges. And we know that we're all experiencing so many challenges right now in the world. So today I have a very special guest that I think it will be definitely so beneficial for you to sit and listen, because it may be really, really important for your success right now in this challenging situation. Dr. Sharon Grossman works with six-figure professionals who are frustrated by their limiting beliefs, negative emotions, and self-sabotaging behaviors. She teaches them how to print their brain for success so they can live a more focused, fun, and fulfilled life with ease in just 15 minutes a day. In addition to being a keynote speaker and podcast host, Dr. Sharon is the author of the Amazon best-selling book, How to Train Your Brain for Success in 5 Steps. Wow, this is amazing. I definitely need to read this book. Welcome to the show, Sharon.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Oh, I'm excited actually just to have you here, because the title of the book is just so appealing. But just before we go, you know, just through more details about your book and what are these 5 steps, just tell us a little bit about yourself, your journey, and what brought you here, or just tell us a bit about your story.
Yeah, so I am a trained psychologist, and I've been working with clients for about 20 years now. And during that time, I really got to understand what makes people tick, where people get stuck, really understand, you know, their psychology. And I spent a lot of time working with them on their thinking, mm-hmm. and how to become more mindful, how to have more emotional intelligence and manage their emotions and really connect the dots between their thoughts, their feelings, their behaviors, and the results that they're creating in the world. So mm-hmm. I do a lot of this work still, especially I have burnout clients, and part of the work with them is to really help them feel like they can have control over their life. So if they're feeling burned out, it's basically an outcome that comes from certain behaviors, certain emotions, certain thoughts, you know, and oftentimes they really think it's the circumstances, but it's really not. And that's where you end up actually having more power, because you have something that you can control. Mm-hmm. So I do a lot of this work still, but you know, there's a whole other level that I thought could be amazing to help people, because I'm really on this mission to help people optimize their life. Mm-hmm. And so I do that work, you know, for people who are burned out, because, you know, they want to do their work. They want to continue in their career often, and they just don't know how to make it work. But then I was like, what about doing something that is even more powerful and has even quicker results? Because that's something we're all interested in with our busy schedules and our crazy chaotic lives, yeah. Right?
Yeah, that's
and
hard.
So, right. So like, if you think about it, the reason we get into trouble in the first place is because, as I mentioned, we have certain thoughts. So mm-hmm. things happen around us, and then we have interpretations of those situations. And those thoughts are often erroneous. They're often not based on fact. Our brain lies to us to try to keep us safe. And so we tend to believe all of these thoughts that are happening in our brain. And so I was like, okay, you can have mindfulness and you can do all the work to change your thoughts as you're experiencing it, if you have that awareness. But what if we could actually go one step further and actually program your brain to have different responses, to do things differently? You know, oftentimes when we are working on behavioral change, we're trying to break bad habits and
yes.
establish good habits. Mm-hmm. And we're doing it from a behavioral standpoint, like just do more of this or do less of that.
Yeah.
And it's really, really hard to change our habits.
Like that. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Habits are, you know, hard to die.
Yeah. And part of the reason why it's so hard is because we're programmed in a certain way. So it's really hard for us to start from the bottom up, you know, and if you think about it, there's this trickle down effect that happens, right? You have your thoughts, which lead to your feelings, which lead to your behaviors. So if you're having some sort of habit that you want to change and you start from the bottom, you start from the behavioral point, now mm-hmm. you got to contend against certain emotional states, which are fueling the behavior. Mm-hmm. And you've got to contend against your thoughts that are leading you to have those emotional states. And so it's really hard to, you're basically fighting yourself.
Yeah.
But if we can change your beliefs, if we can change your programming, then your thoughts automatically change. And then it's so much easier to get the results that you want in the world. And so that's where I decided to really create this whole other program on brain priming. And this book that I wrote, How to Train Your Brain for Success in 5 Steps, is all about the process. So I'm really here to teach people how to do this work, why they should care about it, you know, why it's so effective, what kind of results they might be able to anticipate. And then they get to decide if they want to do it themselves, if they want to come and do it together with my group, you know, so they have options. But I'm just here to provide the information and encourage people to take this completely new way of being in the world, this new technique that maybe they hadn't yeah. considered before
yeah.
and play around with it and see what it can do for them.
Yeah, it's very important. You know, it is, you know, when you talk, I just feel exactly, you know, the same thing that I am practicing and I'm teaching in NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, because our belief system and unfortunately our psychology for so many years missed this so important part. And we, you know, in our psychology and also in our, you know, medicine, basically, we have been focusing on the results, on the symptoms. It's more about symptomology rather than etiology or, you know, the root
That's
causes,
right.
which is the biggest gap that I felt in my whole, you know, professional experience, because we keep missing the root causes. And that means we don't do anything to remove the problem or just to shift the problem or transform to another, you know, healthier state. And I totally agree with you. Yes, so we definitely need to, instead of focusing on the behaviors, we need to focus on the root causes. Yeah, and I love the term you use, brain priming. I love it because I remember that because my background is nursing, and I was using the word priming, you know, in real physical clinical environment. And now, you know, when I use it, brain priming term, it sounds really interesting. Tell us about this term. Where is this term coming from? Did you just, did you have any story, you know, behind it or?
Well, let me just preface that with a definition so we're all on the same page, so we know what we're talking about. Yeah. So priming is something that you are exposed to that then affects your response without you being mindful or intentional about it. Mm-hmm. So a great example of this is the media. We watch the news and then we feel anxious about something bad happening to us after we've seen crime scenes and reports on murders and theft that are happening in our neighborhood. Mm-hmm. You know, during COVID, we saw a great example of a scarcity mindset where people were afraid there would be a shortage of supplies and started to hoard toilet paper and other such products.
Yeah, that's right.
And even if you didn't initially have that scarcity mindset, when you saw what others were doing and that toilet paper was indeed becoming scarce, you might have adopted a scarcity mindset yourself. Yeah. Yeah. So essentially, one of the things we say is, you know, when you are painting your wall, right? What do we do if we've got a dark colored wall and we want to paint it a light color, mm-hmm. right? We're completely transforming it, is you prime then paint.
Yeah.
So priming is basically prepping the wall for this transformation that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And the reason this is important is because if you don't do it, then what happens when you start to paint over that dark shade is it bleeds through and it requires multiple layers of paint. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it is just more work.
Yeah.
Right. And so with the primer coming on first, you're prepping the wall. And by having that preparation in place, you now can cut down the amount of work to actually create that transformation. And so that's essentially what's happening in your brain. Mm-hmm. And the way that we do that is through basically suggesting mm-hmm. what it is we want to believe mm-hmm. and through repetition. And I can explain how this works, but that's kind of the big premise of it. You're developing new ways of thinking. Mm-hmm. You are programming your brain to think a new way, to feel differently, to behave in different ways. So you can actually get to script it out mm-hmm. exactly how you want it to be. And that's what actually ends up happening. So, you know, I'd like to tell the story. There's a couple of uses of this kind of methodology, maybe a little bit differently than how I use it in my work, but it was something that was used in research. And I thought the stories of kind of what they discovered were pretty interesting. So an example of negative priming is they had a number of participants and they were given three different statements. Mm-hmm. And there were certain words within those statements that, you know, I'll read the statements to you, but so you can see, but there were certain words within those statements that basically had a negative connotation in the sense that it made you feel old. All right. Yeah. Yeah. So for instance, one, and these are kind of nonsensical strings of words. So one sentence was from our Florida oranges temperatures. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. So the first thing that kind of jumps out at you is the word Florida, which we tend to associate with senior citizens, yes. at least in the States. Right.
Yeah.
And then another sentence was us bingo, sing, play, let, right? And so again, you've got this activity of bingo where you're like, that's what old people do, right? You can kind of see a bunch of old people sitting in a retirement home, bingo, and I got bingo, right? And then the third sentence is should now withdraw, forgetful, we. And so again, you know, you think of old people being forgetful. And so what happened is they're just showing these words on the screen to participants. And then what they had them do is they left the building, But what they didn't know was that they were timing how long it took them to walk down the hall from the room where they were doing the study to the elevator. And what they found was there was a significant difference between people who were primed with these negative words mm-hmm. or these words that are associated with being old mm-hmm. and other people who were primed maybe in a more neutral way or more positive way. So it turned out that the people who were primed with these words like Florida, bingo, and forgetful actually walked significantly slower mm-hmm. to the elevator.
Yeah. Yeah. It affected right? their physiology. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. that was kind of a cool thing. And then unlike that first experiment in which people were made to act as if they were older because they were primed to do so, mm-hmm. there was another study that Ellen Langer did that actually did the opposite. So she took a group of actual old people, so a group yeah. of 75-year-old men. She took them on a retreat to a location that was staged as if it was the year 1959. Mm-hmm. So on location, she had magazines, music, and pictures of them from 20 years earlier.
Yeah.
The participants' mental and biological age actually decreased as a result of participating in this experiment. What they measured was the length of their fingers, which usually gets shorter with age. It actually lengthened. Mm-hmm. They became more flexible. Their hearing and their eyesight significantly improved. The level of their intelligence and their memory increased. You know, their muscle strength increased. So they spent 1 week on location. And then when they returned home, they became much more self-reliant. So essentially priming in this case helped reverse their aging.
Yeah.
So as it turns out, a lot of our behaviors are associated with age are a reflection of our beliefs mm-hmm. and our expectations, right? So if we expect that as we get older, we're going to slow down,
yeah.
our body's going to deteriorate, that's exactly yeah. what happens. But we yeah. can actually prime it to be what we want it to be instead.
Yeah, so it's definitely important for longevity as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's important. You can use it for so many different things in your life.
Yeah. It's actually so interesting when you talk about negative priming and in the current situation, it's actually, I think, nearly 2 years now, people in the world, it's just going to be under negative priming, isn't it, right? And I was just, you know, thinking about, because for a short time, I was supervising my students, you know, in aged care facilities a few years ago. And I just remember that these, you know, old people all the time are in the front of TV. That's all they have. Unfortunately, they just, you know, are looking, you know, keep looking at the door just to have some visitors. And they are so, so lonely. And all their entertainment is just sitting in the front of TV. And just imagine TV is just coming all the time, 24 hours with all these negative information, stats, numbers of disease. And what can happen when you just all the time just put your brain in the contact of these constant negative information? And there is no wonder that, you know, another day we come and see, unfortunately, for example, one resident in the facility just died, you know, overnight, because eventually it can. Yeah. So it does real make sense. And I think my next question is, or I don't know, just next discussion. It's working with subconscious mind. Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So what you're doing is you're actually suggesting whatever it is that you want. In this case, it could be, you know, that I want to feel more confident, or that I want to, you know, change whatever the behavior is that you, or pattern is that you want to change. You know, you can really script that out.
Yeah.
It could be, you know, to feel less anxious, or to, I don't know, there's so many things you could do. I worked with a writer who had writer's block. And we use this because she was such a perfectionist. So we use it for the perfectionism and to help her have more confidence in her writing. I used it with somebody who struggled with emotional eating. And so we used it for that case. So, I mean, there's so many different things that it can be adapted for. Mm-hmm. So kind of like how you talked about with NLP, it's a strategy, it's a tool that you can then use in whatever way you want. This also works in the same way. And the reason it works essentially is because when you think about your beliefs that are driving you currently, where did those beliefs come from? Right? You weren't born with those beliefs. So our self-beliefs really come from two places. One is when we misinterpret past events, right? So something happens and then we say to ourselves, oh, it's because I wasn't good enough. That's why, you know, my parents didn't pay attention to me, or, you know, it's because I messed up, or so, you know, it's usually something about us being flawed in some way. And then sometimes we have these negative self-beliefs because we've absorbed other people's programming. So if you're raised in a home where maybe your parents have a scarcity mindset around money, then you grow up with that idea. Absolutely. And so you then absorb their programming about money, even if it's not true. Like, you might have enough money, but then because it's constantly around you, this notion that money is scarce, it doesn't grow on trees and all these kinds of things, then when you become an adult, all of a sudden you have this scarcity mindset. And so, you know, if we think about it, we have these beliefs simply because we've heard them over and over again.
That's right.
And so then the idea here is, if that's how beliefs are formed, why couldn't we create beliefs on purpose that actually align with our goals?
Absolutely. I just remembered, you know, the book Biology of Beliefs. That's amazing book. Now I'm so advocating Bruce Lipton's work. And and the belief system actually can come even from the last generation, you know. So from childhood, from the last generation, and from our own experiences. And yeah, I love it. And definitely, you know, I just love that, you know, analogy you used for painting. Definitely, it's so important to create some space first, because when, for example, my subconscious mind is full, with all past experiences, all past learnings, and, you know, positive or negative, whatever, it's not easy just to add something else, you know, on the top of all those, you know, full cup. So what are you, just tell us a little bit about this part. What are you doing exactly just to create more space before, you know, you go through suggestion and you're suggesting the new beliefs?
Well, the first thing you want to do is really have some clarity about what is getting in the way. So in the case of those old people, what was getting in the way clearly was their belief system, because once they got primed to be more agile, like we took them back to 1959, they're like, oh, yeah, I remember when I was that young. Oh, I used to be able to do all these things, right? All of a sudden, even though it's not 1959, they're kind of going back in their mind to that point. And all of a sudden, they're tricking their body. They're tricking their mind to act younger, right? So that's essentially what we're doing, is we're kind of reprogramming on purpose. We're kind of designing, like, what do you want your results to be, right? And so first, you got to get real clear on what isn't working for you. What are your behavioral patterns that you want to change? You know, and then, you know, from there, it's really important to also think about, what are my incentives here for change? Because people don't like change. You know, people are afraid of doing something different, even if it's good for them.
That's fear-based. And that's default, because we want to just stay in the comfort zone.
So, you know, one of the things I take people through is not just the clarity piece, but also what's going to help you have momentum. And part of that is you have to identify those incentives for change. And really, that's part of your clarity, right? It's like, oh, I understand that this is holding me back. And if I change this, this is what's going to be different in my life. Mm-hmm. And part of it is like really working on your identity, because if you identify, for instance, as an old person, then you're like, well, if I don't have that, and that's kind of who I am, then who am I now? Right. So that can be really scary. And that's what keeps people kind of clinging to what they know.
Yeah.
So I work with people to really get clear on that and then help them understand the way that their brain works, and that, you know, if they have certain thoughts and beliefs that are really lies, mm-hmm. to be able to rewrite those as more realistic and helpful thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So really it's like they get to kind of have a relationship with their own mind, mm-hmm. rather than be driven by it, because our mind is doing the best it can given what it has as its program. But, you know, that program, as we said, can be something that you've absorbed from your misinterpretation of something, or it can be something that you absorb from other people. So it's just, you know, and the thing is, I always tell people, your brain doesn't really care what you want it to do. It's really there to serve you. So if you don't tell it specifically, like, I want this, right, then it's just going to go with what it has. It's like, you gave me this other program, whether it was intentional or unintentional, like your subconscious mind is already programmed to do it in a certain mm-hmm. way. And that's why you've developed certain habits and such.
Yeah.
And if you don't give it some other information, it's going to just keep running the same program.
Absolutely.
But if you want something different, it's really up to you to say, thank you very much. That said, I really want this other program. Let me feed it to you. Let me tell you exactly what I want. Right. So you got to think of your brain kind of like your servant, or your, you know, nowadays we have these like virtual assistants, right? So it's like there to help you, there to work with you. But it might be working against you, not because it's trying to harm you, but because it thinks that what it's doing is great.
Yeah.
And do you have to give people, it instruction?
Yeah. And do you put people, you know, in the relaxed state of mind, or just, you know, in the different brain ways, just to give them suggestion or ask them what they want, or
you do it
when they are absolutely conscious in?
Yeah, so this is actually quite different from a lot of other techniques that you know, are very sit down and, you know, focus your mind and all this kind of stuff. I think those techniques are really great, but what's different about brain priming and the way that we're doing it is that it's something that actually I specifically liked, because I work with a lot of very busy professionals, mm-hmm. and people are just like, I don't have time for another thing.
Yeah.
And I, right. So what's beautiful about this is once we create the recording that they're going to listen to, which is what they're essentially listening to for 15 minutes a day, mm-hmm. They can press play on that while they're doing other things. So they don't have to be in a certain state. They don't have to be, you know, really doing anything specific. I tell people, you know, wake up in the morning, you're going to brush your teeth, you're going to get dressed, you're going to have breakfast, have it playing in the background. Or you know, if you're driving, you're driving your car, you're cooking dinner, whatever it is you're doing, you know, you get to just kind of have it running in the background, because what we really need is that repetition over time. So your brain just has to hear it over and over again. So if every day you just do that one time, then, you know, it just starts to stick over a period of time. And then people will say that they can start to hear certain statements pop up in their mind when they're in certain situations.
So you basically get those statements from the person,
yes,
and then record it, you know, in 15 minutes. Is that right?
So we take all of we take all of the things that they want to believe, the way they want to think when they're in certain situations, the way they want to feel, the way they want to behave. Like, we take all of that.
Yeah.
And we think about, like, what situations are you currently in where you're getting triggered, or where you're not acting the way you want to, or where you feel particularly anxious, or where you lose your confidence, you know, whatever the case may be. We get all of those statements and then we turn them around.
So we
take it, we're really tailoring it to a specific topic and really to the group that we're working with. And, you know, I've also done some customized ones for people. Like sometimes people will just hire me to make a recording for them if they don't want to necessarily be in the group and showing up to like all the coaching calls and things. They just want to run with their one recording. I'll do that as well. Yeah. But typically, like, we do this work in a group, and the reason for that is because there's so much healing that happens when we're together doing this work. Because a lot of my clients, actually, before they even started having results using the priming, they talked about how they felt so lonely in their struggle because they didn't realize that other people have similar struggles. And so the first thing they noticed being in the group is that, oh, like, actually there are normal people that I, you know, that I would like look up to that actually have the same issues. And so it's so normalizing. And that in and of itself, I feel, is like the beginning of the healing journey.
This is the greatest benefit of group therapy. And, you know, I totally agree, because a lot of time when we experience problems, we feel that, oh, we are alone, and we are. But when you see other people, especially when you see other people already overcome the problems, that is so, I love it. Absolutely, you know, it's all, you know, you talk is 100% resonating with me and what I'm doing, because I'm definitely in the field, in the area, and I really appreciate, you know, what you do, because that's a great thing for people just to change the beliefs. So can you tell us about, you know, or if you're happy to share about those 5 steps?
Well, yeah. So, you know, it's a little bit involved, but the basic premise is basically what we said is you want to identify what isn't working. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I'm going to just give you the real simple version, but if people want to really go a little deeper, I'll give them access to my ebook so they can really read through everything. But essentially, as we said, it's you want to get clear on what it is that you want to change that isn't necessarily working. Then we basically turn those around. So we create what we call turnaround statements. Mm-hmm. So I always ask, like, what do you want it to be? Mm-hmm. Right. And once we identify all of those, then we can create some sort of a plan of when you're going to practice it. You know, as I said, it doesn't really matter what you're doing, but you want to start to create a habit of, like, I listen to it every morning when I wake up and brush my teeth, you know, because if we don't create a habit around when we do it, then we're going to forget to do it on certain days. And then it's just not going to have the same effect. So really encourage people to just pick a time, and it doesn't really matter if it's like first thing in the morning or right before you go to bed or when you're cooking dinner, whatever it is, just pick a time, commit to your daily practice. Exactly. And then, you know, there's definitely a lot of mindset work that we have to do, as I mentioned, around this. So that kind of gets intertwined around these different steps, where at first they're kind of creating that incentive for change. Then they're, you know, noting what's coming up for them, any sort of negative self-talk. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times your brain's going to resist change because, you know, it's designed to be efficient. And if you're asking it to do something else, it's like, well, we already have a program. Why am I going to start investing in something else? Like, it's going to take me a while to catch on to this new thing. So I might as well just run the program that I have. And that's why it's so hard for us to create behavioral change, right? It's the same thing. So, you know, you have to really be clear. And so I have them do a risk benefit analysis to really get down into this idea of, like, why it's so important for me to do this, why I should commit to that daily practice. And then as they're doing it, you know, it's really about noting their observations, starting to identify those positive learnings, and then write a new narrative. So it's really kind of rewriting their life script, because as we said, what happens in this process is their identity starts to change. Yeah. So if you always thought of yourself as an anxious person and now you're not so anxious, you got to kind of come up with a new story that defines who you are now. Mm-hmm. And that's an important part to kind of get some closure around this piece. And so what I do, for instance, in my group is we'll come up with a theme of the month. Yeah. And so we'll come up with, let's say we're going to do anxiety, since I just mentioned that, we'll come up with that brain priming recording that everybody listens to every day for 15 minutes. We then get together once a week for group coaching. And then at the end of that, once they've had a chance to really work with it, then we go to the next theme. And so what's so cool about this is you could just plug and play this whole process, mm-hmm. and use it to really grow in different aspects of your life. And that's why I love it so much.
Mm, I love it too. So yeah, and the repetition is also the key, you know, the more they listen to that 15 minutes, if they listen 10 times to that 15 minutes, you know, everywhere they are, in the kitchen, in the front of the TV, driving. Oh, I'm sure after perhaps, you know, I don't know, a couple of months, the big change may happen because repetition is the key. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I love it. Yeah. So I actually love to hear more and more about these things, because as I mentioned before, this is my thing as well. But let's just talk perhaps in another episode, because I know that you're just working on, you have amazing work on burnout as well. And that's another big topic that we can talk a lot about it. But now just
tell us where people can find you.
Yeah, so my website is drsharongrossman.com. And for anybody who wants to read more in depth, you know, this book, How to Train Your Brain for Success, mm-hmm. I've got a link that I'm happy to share. Yeah. So it's free for your listeners, and they can
I'll put in the show notes, definitely.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So they can just go to bit.ly/trainyourbrainforsuccess. And then let's see, I guess, for anybody who wants to find out more about my membership site, that's called The Priming Lab. So they just go to thepriminglab.com and all the information is there.
I love the name Priming Lab. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Sharon. It's actually an amazing discussion. Let's just, you know, definitely jump on in the future in another show to talk more about, you know, what you're doing. But now, close this podcast and this amazing discussion, what is your final message that you want to share right now with the world?
So my message is that you can create your world on purpose. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's really the line that I use. If you go to the Priming Lab, you'll see that right front and center. That's really the message with priming, is that, you know, regardless of what your current habits are or the things that you are currently struggling with, you can actually get to create whatever you want and design that for yourself. So you just have to get really clear on what you want, and then we jump in and we do it.
Yes, you can create your world on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly true. And that's exactly my motto too. Thank you so much for joining me. I will put, you know, all links in the show notes. And please, professionals, you know, six-figure business owners, you definitely need to get in touch with Sharon, because we know how much stress we carry every day in what we do. We do amazing job, but a lot of time we just get overwhelmed and, you know, so much overstressed. And maybe we need to do a little bit of brain priming. So yeah, thank you, Sharon. So until next time, see you then.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed, and I'm very looking forward to hear from you for any inputs, suggestions, and also your subscriptions. Thank you.